I want to echo JM's words this morning about you as a congregation. You become more beloved to me more and more all the time. You are a wonderful people. May God continue to bless your lives, guide you. Right now, we're about 10 hours into a whole brand new year. What do you think of that? Does that give you any new challenges, any new goals? New things you want to experience? Maybe you have some plans. I don't know. Last night I did something I don't know if I ever did or not, but we had some company and they stayed till 11:30. And then I said to my wife, well, that close to the threshold, I'm going to stay up to the threshold. And I did. And I had my phone there. And I was continually watching it. I go by GPS time because that gets as close to the right time as anything. So I watched it go from 11:59 to 12 o'clock. Whoa, 23 is here, just like that. And as I think about that, I think to myself, always when we have something that's brand new or something that we can cherish now because it's so nice, and we experience that and we go on with it and we kind of get ourselves focused on wanting to excel that and really work at it and keep it that way and just pretty and nice. And I guess as I was thinking about that and contemplating what to share this morning, I thought about our habits. I don't know how your habits are. Do you know what a habit is? Something that you experience in life that you put into your life, you use to guide and direct your life and make it what it is. And often your will is the thing that you have to change to make a habit be different. In your life, we become creatures of habit, don't we? I mean, we sometimes think, now this habit is just not good. I want to break it. And I find myself at a difficult place to know how to utilize time properly. My wife is better at it than I am. She would say, come on, it's time to go to church. And I'd say, well, you know, we just go there and we'll sit there 5 minutes and whatever. That's sort of my thinking at times. I shouldn't think that way. But I like to, I guess, utilize all the time I can get and not just waste it. But you sang a song this morning, which we were sitting in the minister's room, and you sang it, and beautiful song, touched my heart. And I looked where it was here in Sunday school class. If I wasn't listening right, Eric, that's probably what I was doing. But I found the song, and I wanted to read it to us. And folks, I want to encourage you in something that I feel is so important to us, is to take time to be holy. You sang that song this morning, and the words spoke to my heart in a sense that I believe we do so many things, and proper as they are and good as they are, and yet on the other hand, we sometimes, or a lot of times, maybe neglect our duty to the Almighty God we serve in utilizing our time properly for his sake. And the way you do that, God is not a God that you're going to punch buttons and get a lot of results in a big hurry. But God just wants you to wait on him and to disconnect yourself and find that precious time. Take it and apply it to your heart. Reads like this: take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. And then again, this is implying to a holy life. It says, again, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone, and abiding in Jesus, like him thou shalt be, thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. And then again, take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. and run not before him, whatever betide in joy or in sorrows, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Last verse says, take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou shalt soon be fitted, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Do you notice the sweetness of that song? How it implies itself to your life. When we talk about harboring habits, I have many habits. We all have our sense of habits. But I want to go to the Old Testament this morning for a text. If you will, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I want to illustrate something this morning, which it's kind of a strange illustration. It's kind of a gory illustration, but I'll never forget. When we were little boys, one time my brothers and I, we wanted to see what the inside of a mouse looked like. I don't recommend it, children. But I remember we took that little guy and we dissected him. What we wanted to really see, you know, they say that your heart is the size of your fist. That's the size of your heart, one fist. They say that your stomach is two fists. That's the size of your stomach. So you can eat twice as much as your heart could if it was something that took food. But that's what they say. But our interest was to see this little guy's heart. And we dissected him, we opened him up, and we got all kinds of organs. We put them out and we laid them out very carefully. And we distinctly studied them. Huh, there's his little intestines, and there's his, we didn't even know what some of the things were, like liver and so forth. I'm not enough of a doctor, but we saw a lot of things. But you know what? We finally found the little guy's heart. And it was so tiny. Just a little thing. And I remember thinking that little heart had a process which caused it to pump life into that little animal. But we had killed him, and his heart was no longer pumping. But I use that to liken our life's condition as we live for our Lord and serve him. We wanted to distinctly study and know what his insides looked like, as much as it isn't so interesting. But we did find out what the little guy looks like all inside. And I liken that, folks. We sometimes have a habit of, we're talking about habits, harboring habits this morning. Oh, by the way, the word harboring means by definition to shelter, to take under protection, or to protect, to entertain or cherish in the mind. I thought that their term was interesting. To entertain or cherish in the mind. That is harboring. And then the last one is to lodge or abide for a time. Now, this is opposite of the harbor that we talk about when we talk about how ships are guided into the safety of a harbor. A harbor would take you out of the ocean and often put you in a safe place in the calm waters, and it protected you and became a refuge and guided you into a safe place. Now, folks, our habits can work the same way. Our harboring in the habits we have and what we shelter and cherish in our minds and our hearts is going to make the difference how I respond to my life's activities. And when we talk about life's activities, are we ever involved? This week, I couldn't even think straight. We were going here and we were going there. The other night, we were up on Friday night, we were up in up near Williamsport, the other side of Williamsport, and we were up till 1:30. I said to myself, what's going on? But folks, I tell you what, we socialized with people we love. And we had a wonderful time. I think that's what kept me up that late. But I didn't tell you everything. We slept a little longer in the morning. So we did get a good amount of rest. But what I'm saying that for is that we learn in our hearts and our lives to take time for the good things of life. I tell you what, the things that become good memories, and that's something we want to talk about, and we want to talk about meditation. I'd like you to, now I have a jump start on you, maybe. I don't know. We sometimes our students and stuff have these quiz things going on, and you learn piles and chapters of scripture, and I'm amazed and impressed how we can learn so much in such a short time, and we can apply it up here. But sometimes we do it for the reason of maybe being challenged in a competition thing. But folks, I'm talking this morning about us taking our quizzing of life in our hearts and applying ourselves and letting us be filled with the habits of reading and meditating and memorizing God's word. I'm going to test us this morning. I don't know. It's pretty long scripture, but how many of you are familiar with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? Are you familiar with it? Clyde, Arlene? Now, we're going to try something. And I know I should have talked about, I'm going to talk about this before, because so that you have a little time to pick your brain, okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We'll get to our text. What I'm sharing this for is that habits will develop themselves in our life, and those habits will make us the individual we become. Does that seem right to you this morning? You will become. Well, let's go here. And these two verses, folks, this morning, I tell you what, your life can hinge on these two verses and make you the person that God wants you to be. And I would like for you to learn them. Now, we're going to say read these verses together. If you have your Bibles, maybe we don't all have our Bibles along. But if we read this together, and I want you to very thoughtfully think about what we're reading. Not just read it, but we want to think about what we're reading. Because we're going to try and do it about 4 to 6 times throughout the message. And then at the end result, I'm going to give you the opportunity to say it by memorization. How's that? Aren't we supposed to be Bible scholars, Bible readers? And we are supposed to get the word of God into our hearts and our lives. We're to be like the old cow that regurgitates her food, takes it out of the stomach she eats it with, and then she pulls it out of there and she brings it back. Did you ever watch an old cow? She's laying there and here she swallows. She's regurgitating. And after a while, you see this lump. And she's just chewing. She swallows that one. And she does that time and again, following after each other. It's interesting. Well, folks, that's what we are to do with the word of God. We are to regurgitate it in our lives and get the best flavor out of it we can and let it be a good part of us, okay? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Read with me. I want you to say it out loud with me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Done. Let's go to our text. But I want you to be thinking about that, and I would appreciate response. I know it's quite long, but what I'm after is to get us to saturate ourselves with the Word of God so that we are Bible scholars, know how to live our lives for God and fulfill His commission in our hearts. And if I had time, if we could have a Bible conference here sometime, day in and day out, I would love to take the scripture and dissect it, folks. We're talking about the little mouse. Dissect the scriptures. Pull it apart and find distinct and relevant things that apply to our lives. Take them and pull them out and make them a part of us. Here in 2 Chronicles 29, let's read it. The Bible says, and this man Hezekiah, let's just get a little history on Hezekiah. I saw something here which I didn't realize before. We're talking about dissecting. I tell you what, folks, if you take a great interest in what the Bible is teaching and saying to you as you read it, you are going to love to read the Bible. You will. It's not going to be if or maybe, but if you can get the whole Bible into context, how it's put together, what its total message is as a roadmap for life, oh, dear people, you're going to get excited about serving God. 23, brand new. It's 10 and a half hours old. Well, anyway, let's read this portion of scripture, chapter 29. We want to read verses. Let's go to, well, we'll stop somewhere. I'm not sure yet. But we won't read the whole chapter of 2 Chronicles 29. It's pretty long. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. I saw that word, Zechariah. And this Hezekiah was married to his daughter. If you go back into the book of Zechariah, I was looking a little bit, but I didn't have a lot of time. But I'm wondering if it, I believe it's the same Zechariah that has a portion of scripture written that he wrote, but in the minor prophets. You all know, Bible scholars, that we have in the Bible a bunch of major prophets, well, not a bunch, but a number of them, but we have more minor prophets. That's back there in that portion of the Bible where you often go and you're told to go read, to get a portion of scripture, and you go back there and you try to find it because they're all bunched together. But Zechariah is the second last book in the Old Testament. Malachi is the last book that we know. But Zechariah is the second last one. And I'm guessing by what I looked at BC is that this Zechariah could possibly be that same Zechariah back that wrote the minor prophet book. And dear people, as you go through the scriptures and you learn how the Bible is put together, I mean, in the beginning, Genesis means beginning, beginning. And then it goes through the Exodus. That's the Exodus and journey of the children of Israel. And you move into Deuteronomy and all that. And when, that's when God gave the laws to the children of Israel and taught them how to live. And he goes on. And all the kings that God gave the people in 1st and 2nd Kings. And Chronicles is a writing that brings out parts of the scriptures that 1st and 2nd Kings is written about. And you watch that. You can go back, and it often says in the Kings books, when you read them, 1st and 2nd Kings, you will find at the end of a chapter, if a king or a messenger died, it says, are not the rest of the things written in the book of Chronicles. and it will be there and spell a lot similar, but you can draw patterns. Anyway, we need to move on. The scriptures can be exciting, and that's what I'm trying to draw your hearts to this morning. We're in a brand new year. Let's plug in. Let's harbor a habit of reading the Bible, and not just reading it, but securing it in our hearts. Distinctly reading the word. Hold it. It's 5 minutes. Let's read that verse again. Those verses. Romans chapter 12. You ready? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves. Go ahead. Very good. Wow. I bet you half of you have it memorized. Am I correct? No, let's see what happens here at the end of this session. And I'll tell you this now. I was going to put it into my message later, which harboring habits brings out the last couple points is meditating and memorizing scripture. And this is the thing you got to learn, is that you listen to people that are advertising on the radios, on television, wherever they are advertising. How often will they mention a phone number that you will want them to call to get their product or buy or have an opportunity to have a conversation to sell their product to you? How often do they mention their phone number? You'll find that a lot of times, up to four times, just as they get toward the end of their message, they will mention their phone number. Do you know your mind is made in a way that you can take stuff and you can apply it and it'll sink in a short order of time. And especially phone numbers, they can come through your brain and you can connect to them and they'll make you have a message. And that's what we're doing this morning. I want to I don't want to put anybody on the spot this morning. We are here with the Spirit to serve the Lord this morning, have a time of it being enriched in our spiritual condition in the Word of God. That is actually why we're here. I thought it was interesting. Brother Eric said this morning, what if we talked about the Sabbath day? What if I would have said to you guys this week, I feel pressed in my heart since I studied that Sunday school lesson. I don't think it's right that I preach in the morning because of the job. It would be the Sabbath, wouldn't it? Do you think God looks at it that way? I don't think he does. But it drew a point. I think our lives on a Sunday, not more time than we spend in church. You think about it. We do not spend a lot of time in church collecting ourselves in this sort. And yet we know each other in a wonderful sense, don't we? We as children of God, but it's not long. We only connect with each other 2 hours, 4 hours in the week if we have a Sunday, Wednesday evening services or something. Then, of course, through a week of revivals, we see each other more. But our connection becomes a beautiful reality as our lives are connected in the spiritual condition of the Holy Word of God. Do we sense that in our hearts? We are not here just to socialize, but we are here to take our hearts and connect our lives to each other. And let's make 23 another year like that and continue to strengthen our spiritual condition. Folks, there's many people in life out there that are lonely. They are hurting. They're suffering. They have no one that cares about them. But the church is a beautiful place to find the refuge we're talking about, harboring, taking refuge. We never got finished with our text. Let's go to verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness of out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord. You see that word habitation? You knocked the back half of that word off of there. You got your word habit. Habitations of the Lord, and turned their backs. And they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, our sons and daughters have, well, they have all taken into captivity, and so forth. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord. We are here this morning, folks, to make a covenant with God. We want God to have his will and way in our lives. But folks, listen to me. Unless we develop habits that are going to give God the opportunity to come into your life and minister to you spiritually, it's not going to happen if I don't have good meditation and memorization and times that's preciously spent with the Lord. This new year, we can't think of a better time than right now that we want to do what God wants us to do. We want to live a fulfilled life. We want to live a life that is going to honor the Lord. You know the interesting thing about the Lord God of heaven? I walked out the other morning when the sun was just coming up and shining bright. A beautiful morning. I said, God, there you are. So beautifully and so silently, you bring this new day into presence, in my presence. I didn't hear no voice. He didn't say thank you. But I felt it in my spirit. I had already connected with the Lord. Do you find those times? That's why I read that song, Take Time to Be Holy. We will not find it on the computers. I'm not that song. You can find a song there. What I'm saying is we can't get connected to be holy by the computer. Yes, we read a lot of things, but there's a spiritual connection that vibrates through my soul when I have communion with God. Need to capture that. Well, anyway, I'm going to leave off reading there. It's time to go back to Romans 12. Let's go there. I'm not a guy to force people into a mold, but I want to teach us that it works. You can memorize scripture. And there was, I missed my first point here. To rule firmly. I have 6 points here this morning. 5, to rule firmly in the beginning is the important thing. In the first reign of his year, which Hezekiah did in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, he was right in the beginning of the first year. And then it goes on to say that he reorganized, he got things reestablished. And through that process, it says that he in the first year, and it also adds in the first month. And I took that and I put in there in the first day and maybe in the first hour. We reestablish our condition, and that's what Hezekiah saw. Hezekiah saw the condition. The Bible tells us that the nation of Israel was totally in disarray. They were not serving God. They had turned their backs on God because they had wicked kings. Here comes Hezekiah at the age of 25, and that's a pretty young guy. But then 29 years later, his kingship was finished. He no longer was a king. So he had 54 years in which he applied himself in that situation as a young man. But as he filled his role, he saw the need of what the church needed. He saw what the children of Israel needed. And the Bible tells us, if you read in Chronicles, if you read the whole story in Kings, I believe it's 2 Kings 20 or so, the Bible teaches us that he rent his clothes and sat in sackcloth and ashes. That means that he lowered himself to the greatest of his ability to become somebody that God could process himself through. And Hezekiah is the king that in his lifetime at the end, he experienced a boil or some great sickness. And he cried out to the Lord. The Bible says he turned his heart to the wall. And he cried sorely before God. He said, God, haven't I followed you with a perfect heart? Why are you taking my life from me? He was sick unto death. And he pleaded and he begged with God for deliverance. Do you know what? God heard him. And the Bible tells us that he gave Hezekiah 15 more years to live. That is our God. Folks, how often do we press God hard in some of the decisions we have to make in life? Oh, it's coincidence. Or that's how life goes. Last night, I remember us talking a little bit about that, why some of these difficult times come into our lives. Folks, God never ceases to be the God he is, regardless of what you have to go through in life. Never forget that. God will always be God. And you'll find out, if you get as old as me, that you will learn that that God is going to exist and be there anytime, any place, anywhere, and be faithful in his proclamation upon your life as you go on in life. Let's grasp a hold of that. So while you're young people, take your whole heart, turn it to God. And as you do that, he's going to manifest himself through your lives and make you the individual that he wants you to be. He has a personal job in mind for you in serving him in faithfulness. And I want to encourage you. I don't know which of you it was. I remember when you shared up front here and talked about some things in the Bible. And I sensed a keenness of what you were sharing was for good biblical life and condition. And I want to encourage you, follow that through. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's say it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you got it, right? Is that the fourth time? I think we did it four times. Well, we're going to go one, two more. Anyway, getting back to our text here, in Hezekiah's situation, some of the difficult experiences he had to try and restore the worship of the Almighty God over there in Jerusalem, in the city area there. And the Bible tells us that as Hezekiah was a king, he didn't want the enemy. Sennacherib was trying to get him from Assyria. That king was trying to invade the city, and he was going to try and take the city. Well, Hezekiah said, well, we're going to fix him. He said, we are their water source of cisterns, or their springs that ran in, that they went to get water from, were on the outside of the city wall. And as they were out there, Hezekiah said, the enemy needs to be deplored from our springs and our water system. We're going to fix them. He said, we're going to dig a tunnel through the wall and out into our springs and cisterns so that the water could run in there. And it did. Folks, that is what they call today the Hezekiah Tunnel. It's 600 feet long. It's about this tall. and it's about this wide. And down the center of it is a channel of water, pure spring, clear water. Folks, the Bible says that this is the water of life which we receive from God. And it is a everlasting springing fountain of life. And that water that runs through that Hezekiah, we saw it. That water that runs through that Hezekiah tunnel is so pure and beautiful water. And that rock that they dug through for 600 feet, folks, they didn't have excavators. Dwayne, you know what it's like. You don't dig tunnels by hand anymore, do you? You take a machine and do it. Well, they had to do it with pick and shovel, whatever they had. And I'll tell you what, dear people, it was solid rock right through there for 600 feet. You talk about a job. That was a job. Hey, I'll tell you, if we want to get something done, we can get it done. God promises to be with us. Well, we looked at rule firmly, reorganized immediately. He did in the first year, the first month. And then it says here, I mean, the next point is to rule out completely. That means if I'm harboring habits that are not conducive to proper growth in Christian living, I need to be taking those habits and arranging them out of my life. I need to get rid of them immediately. Let's look at what verse 5 says here in our text. In verse 5, the Bible says, "Hear me, you Levites." He was talking to the priesthood. He says, "Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers." And notice what the last part says. Dear people, if we expect, dear folks, to get God's attention to work through our lives, we need to get rid of the things that are harboring the wrong kind of habits. Yes, we do. We need to harbor good habits. Memorization, meditation. Here the Bible says in the last part of verse 6, it says, no, I'm sorry, in verse 5, the Bible says, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Do you know what Hezekiah saw? He saw that the people of God had left God's holy place. They had removed themselves and they had trashed the church. Folks, it's time that the churches see the need for preachers to preach the word of God faithfully, not to harbor any kind of sin flowing through the doors, but that the word of God goes forth and cleanses the hearts and lives of the people. Now, I know this doesn't apply to the temple of God, which is us as people. God will reign in our lives. And my challenge to us this morning in relation to thinking about taking forth the filth, we cannot expect God. It's like taking a bucket of dirty water after you wash the floor. It's all dirty. You can't just dump half of it out and dump and fill it again halfway with new water, clean water, and expect it to be clear water. You're going to still have dirty water. But it's important to take it and dump it all out. And then take us, even if it's really dirty and hung to the bucket, you got to rinse it out in there and just get whole new water. Now you're ready for the job. Folks, that's how it is with your heart. Before God, you need to take the measures and the steps that will cleanse the inside of your life, put them out of your heart, and from there you can move forward and you can be filled with the Spirit of God. That's not so hard, is it? We're talking about starting, it's almost 11 hours old now this year. Sometimes you want to get a hold of the clock and shut her down or pull onto them hands. Hold it, let's stop here. Do you know what? In the Bible, it tells us also that Hezekiah, in his desire to serve God, and his son Manasseh was the next king. And the Bible tells us that he was one of the worst kings there was. And he did everything evil. He built up the old Baal worship groves, and he did everything against his father's will. And I never understood that. But the Bible tells us that when God granted him those 15 years, when the guys came back and told him that God is going to give him that opportunity, he said, well, let God prove himself. Let me see what he's going to show me that I will get 15 more years. And you know what he said? He said, they were talking about the clock. And I don't know what for clocks they had. They had the old dial thing system where the shadow would shine across, and that's how their time measured off. But the clock was moving forward in 12 minutes at a shot. I said, yeah, well, sure, that's the way the direction of life goes. He said, well, if God is who he says he is, and he's going to heal me, let him prove it by giving me 10 minutes backwards with the clock going back. And you know what? God did that. God did that. And today our scientists are still confused where some of the minutes in time have gotten to. They found out that 12 minutes, and what was it? Was it Gideon that the time moved 4 minutes or two, whatever? But they found out that that is the block of time which Hezekiah had asked for. Isn't that amazing that God did that? But it proved to Hezekiah that God was for real. We have a God that is so interested in everything we do. You ask him sometime, he might amaze you what he'll do for you that you thought he wouldn't. Oh, Lord, increase our faith and help us. Well, let's think about it. He cleaned out everything completely. Then he replaced totally. The Bible tells us here in verse 4 and 20 in our text, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And then in verse 20, he says this. He says, and Hezekiah the king rose up early and gathered the rulers of the city, and he went up to the house of the Lord. That is where he was going to worship. I'm guessing before this, the children of Israel had so declined and so removed themselves from worshiping God that there was no worship going on anymore. And here, after he did all his cleaning up and got rid of all the stuff in the temple, he now restores their worship to God. Amazing, just amazing. And the Bible tells us that as they worshiped, folks, it was costing them a lot of money again. Or I don't know how they bought them or where they got them, but they killed like 700 goats or sheep. I'm sorry, sheep. They killed 700 sheep in sacrifice, and they killed 300 bullocks, 1,000. Can you imagine the flood of blood from killing and sacrificing those animals? And the way they would do it, they had what they called the dung gate over in Jerusalem city. And that dung gate is still there today. That is on the south side of the city, and it slopes down toward the outside, and it goes downhill to the Kidron Valley. And they tell us that back in the greatest time of sacrifice in the Passover and everything, they had that valley, that Kidron, they call it the Kidron Brook, was flowing pretty full of blood with these animals that they were sacrificing. Can you imagine with me what that was like? You and I don't have to do that today, but we give our lives in sacrificial ways that God atoned to us, the blood of Jesus, in a sacrifice so that you and I, our hearts and our blood is still flowing as it does, but we can find a sanctified life before Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible tells us here in verse 2, in verse 2 of chapter 29, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done, meaning a forefather that he had done. And he received a blessing from God for his faithfulness, as you receive the blessing of God upon your life. Well, let's think about the last point. Restructure enthusiastically. Do you know what? In our lives, folks, we have to learn that it's not protecting myself from all the things that are around me in the world, but it's that I take into my life the things that will scripturally maintain and support themselves in my spiritual condition. If you follow that point, I believe there's a lot of people are trying to protect themselves and watch all the world out around them. And they're so involved in that that they forget to take care of the person who they should be taking care of. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world. And that means that Jesus Christ dwells here with his Holy Spirit. And that means that you have the authority and the power over Satan. Now, we're no match for the devil. We all know that. But on the other hand, we have the power and the authority over him as we apply our lives. But we cannot expect God to help us apply that authority over Satan if our lives are not committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ to that extent where he can work in and through us. All right, restructure enthusiastically. Well, and this touches a lot of areas in our lives, and we don't have time to go into detail with a lot of that, but it touches the habits that we practice in life. It can mean our church, it can mean our families, all our relationships, and all those in society around us, in business transactions, and whatever we do. And folks, let's not forget this. You can have a strained relationship with God and have good relationships with mankind, but you can never have strained relationships with mankind and have a good relationship with God. Do you get a hold of that? That's what that means. I'm going to read it again. You can have a strained relationship with God and have good relationships with mankind, but you can never have strained relationships with mankind and have a good relationship with God. You know what the Bible says? If I have a problem with a brother and I want to come before the Lord and worship him, the Bible says, go and see your brother or whoever it is that you have a problem with and get your things straightened out. Restructure enthusiastically. I'll tell you what, dear people, what really needs to happen in our Christian experience is if we want to excel, I know all of you want to serve God in the greatest capacity you have. Well, you are the one that changes your habits to make that happen that way. No one else. Harboring habits. You know, we can harbor good habits and bad ones. It's vice versa. But let's remember that. Sometimes people say, I think our 5 minutes are past. Let's read that one more time. Then I'll give you time to, like the old cow does, regurgitate it a little in your thoughts and your heart. I don't care if you want to look at your Bible, but listen to me at the same time. I want you, if you feel you can, and listen, I don't have it all pat down. I learned this because years ago I learned this Bible, these two verses. And if you can't get them all verbatim, fine and okay. But the intent is, you know, when a good school teacher will teach his lesson, he'll teach his lesson. And then to find out if he's successful in his teaching, he says, so what do you learn today? How does that apply to you? Do you know how to share that? And he'll see if what he taught got through to them. That's a good teacher. Well, anyway, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you got it. I'm going to give you a little time, and I'm going to ask for anyone that wants to share, and if they feel they can share those scripture verses. There was talking about meditation and memorization. Some people, and I might have shared this before, but it applies well to this message of thinking about meditating on scripture, memorizing it, getting it into our minds. And we're on the brink of a new year here, and we want to fill our hearts with that. But there was this deacon brother that went to visit this family, or they invited him home for dinner from church. And they were talking in the living room waiting for lunch to happen. And this brother that lived there on this farm, he told the deacon, yeah, he said, I'm no good at memorizing. I can't keep things in my head. I don't know. And on went the story. Well, they had lunch. And then after lunch, they were talking a little bit about pedigrees. Oh, yeah. The farmer livened up. And he said, yes, sir. And he said, do you want to go see my cows? And they went in the barn. And as they were going through the barn, the farmer, he was so excited. He said, that one has this pedigree. She milks 125 pounds of milk. Her sire is this. And she has dams that are doing really well. And then he went on down the line. He had the number for each cow. He knew each cow's name. He knew their pedigrees. He knew how many pounds of milk they produced. And he knew everything. And after they were done, the deacon just stood there and grinned at him. He said, so you can't memorize. He said, you told me in the house you couldn't. He got the message. You know what? It's the things that we love the most, that we become familiar with the most, the things that we are around the most, is what becomes precious to us in our hearts, and our habits will draw us to a place where we can memorize and meditate on the holy word of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 145 that he meditates on the word of God all day long. I don't have the exact words, but that's what he meant. All day long, he does that. So, dear people, how's your memorization? Who wants to take the challenge? Don't all put your hand up at one time. Does anybody want to try it? You won't be shamed for it. Matter of fact, you'll get an A. What do they usually say? An E for effort. But no, you would get an A plus. I know it was long. It was a longer scripture. But listen, dear people, we can memorize songs. We can memorize whole bunches of things. But anyone want to try it? All right. Go ahead. Wow. A plus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Wonderful. Did you know it before? Anyone else want to try it? Okay. Well, I want to tell you this. You know, when we started going to Indiantown years ago, I remember in Sunday school, you used to get, if you had a memory verse that you learned Sunday to Sunday, and if you could say that verse, you got this little red ticket that would give you, if you got so many tickets, you could then go into Provident Bookstore and you could get a gift with those tickets. Maybe we need a program like that. I'll say this much. Those of you that are Bible studiers and you read the Word of God, if you can memorize those two verses, come to me and share them. I want to hear. Now, I'm standing here probably as sort of as a teacher because I'm trying to feel you out to see what you learn. Okay? Well, we are starting this new year. And we make so many different decisions. Boy, it just feels good. I'm going to start to do this different. I'm going to start this. Or I'm going to try and change this habit and make this work better and so forth. But down the road, we fail. We're sort of in a rut. It's a little like the little froggy that was hopping down the road. And as he was hopping down the road, they came to a big rut in the side of the road. Well, there was two or three of them. And the one froggy, oh no, they all three hopped down through and they went down this rut. And they started to realize that rut got deeper and deeper. And after a while, they stopped and they realized they couldn't hop out over the side hardly anymore. Well, they put forth their best efforts. And as they put forth their best efforts, one little froggy made it out of the ditch. He said, come on, you guys. I'm encouraging you. Come on. You can learn scripture. You can memorize. This little froggy, he was trying to encourage him out of the ditch. And you know what? After a while, one of the froggies hopped out again. Two of them were up on the bank now. And they're there trying to encourage his last froggy. Come on. Give it all your efforts. And he tried. And he tried. And I just can't get out, he said. Well, we got to go down the road. And the little froggy said, sorry, we'll see you. And they went down the road, did whatever they had to do, what froggies do, and they came back the road. And here, their buddy froggy was sitting up on the bank. They said, how did you get out? And he said, well, I had to because there was a big truck coming down the road. You see, if we would put forth a little more effort, if the big trucks of our life are taking over and challenging us against our will, that we can change our will to make the actions happen. Wow, we got it going on. God bless all of you as you start this new year. It's a wonderful experience to experience life, and God gives us all the portion he will. And as we go on in life, let's live it to fulfillment, that we don't have to someday stand before God and say, I failed. I just didn't get this done or that done. Folks, it's in your hands, every one of us. And we have a brand new year before us. All we got to do is detour some of our habits, maybe from this side, to make some things happen that are more important in life. But you need to make that decision and choice yourself. I can't do that for you. I can tell the little frog, I can tell you to hop out of the ditch. But you are the one that's got to do the hopping. All right? Let's serve God in faithfulness in every capacity we have. Let's kneel to pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we beseech your throne of grace this morning, thank you, dear God, for this new year. And Father, it's not that so much changes, but it kind of turns over a new leaf for us. And Father, help us to make proper decisions based on how our habits go about in our daily lives. Maybe there's things in our lives that we need to quit and need to change. And maybe there's some good habits that we should be picking up and strengthening and have a greater and a deeper desire to commit our ways to you. And God, that's what we want to do this morning. We ask you, O Heavenly Father, to bless us as a congregation. I pray for every individual here this morning. Dear God, rest your spirit upon them. Guide them in the pathway of life. And help them, Lord, to find the proper direction that you would have for each person here. So God, I commend them to you for your keeping, your strength and grace, and guide us and keep us and bless us as we leave this place in Jesus' precious name and for his glory we pray. Amen.